Welcome everyone to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
OBE Sir Larry.
Oh, of the Queen's Order.
Yes. My internet guy here, the computer guy, the IST guy.
Yes.
He calls me that. He calls me Sir Larry, OBE. Yeah. It's a lie. But then most of what I do is.
You know, if it appears on a resume, that's what I'm trying to get to. It's never checked out, it's still truth at that point in time.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe I actually deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm Dr. Van Beek, and my dissertation is in the area of Enoch, which is an apocalyptic intertestamental book. Well, we say intertestamental. That's a weird expression if you don't believe there was such a thing. But because those books were written.
That's right.
In that period.
In that period.
And if they are testaments, then it's not intertestamental.
So we're talking about from the time of Malachi to Q or Mark or Matthew, whatever.
Yeah. Really, it's or you could call it the Second Temple period, from the time that they built the Second Temple in Ezra's time.
Nice.
And till it was destroyed, actually, in AD 69, 70.
Yeah, there you go.
Was the destruction, and it's funny they call that the Second Temple period because it was Herod that rebuilt the temple. Or is that the Third Temple that Herod rebuilt? Oh my gosh! No, I think that's all Second Temple.
It's awesome. You're good. You got this.
Yeah, we've got it.
All right, so Bud, we're going to talk about some bowls of wrath. Not the grapes of wrath, but bowls of wrath.
No. John Steinbeck had little to do with this.
Yes, nice. Nice. Well played, sir. Yeah.
But this is God's wrath. As I told you before, I have a friend. His name is Gord, and his email is Gord's wrath. This is different than that, in that this is God's wrath. This is the seven bowls. So this is... In a sense, this is the last of the sevens, right? And some people see seven different sevens in the book of Revelation, but as far as the actual major events, there are only four sets of seven, and probably some would only see three. And this is the last one. And this is the greatest escalation of these. Hmm. And so here we go.
Now, Lair, before we jump in, I should ask one last question. Is there actually seven bowls of wrath, or is this one of those? There's six of the seven.
Oh, no, you won't get the seven. The seven is the end of time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
But they don't. They just don't want to call it the sixes. The sixes of God. it gets cumbersome.
Awesome. All right, folks. Revelation 16, starting in verse 1, I'll read down probably... What do you think? End of verse 6?
Let me just see. Go four.
Go forth.
Yep, to the fourth. Go forth, young man.
Ah, yes, to the fourth we go. Okay, then I heard a loud voice.
The fourth
voice.
Be with you.
The fourth be with you and with you, young man. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood.
Okay. Yeah, and I know you feel like you should read the next one, but we'll just catch that in a second, Stevie.
Yeah, you betcha.
So the first three, so the angels pouring out the seven bowls, basically the same as we did all of the other sevens. And the first one is painful sores only on those who hold the mark of the beast. So if you think back, as you said in the pre-show, ooh, I like that. In the pre-show.
Oh, Stephen, and our pre-show was golden, by the way. If you missed it, you really missed
something
good.
It was really good. So... This is very reminiscent of Exodus, and the sores are, of course, they're only on the people. Just like in Exodus, the people in the land of Goshen were protected from some of the plagues. The yes. first couple of plagues, three plagues, were on everybody. And then after that, the people in the land of Goshen were protected. So he's using that kind of imagery to say that the Christians are protected. Tribulation saints, if you feel that Christians are gone. Okay. But the Christians are protected, and the people who are wearing the mark of the beast break out in painful sores. This sounds a little bit like my friend saying, you know, those who get the vaccines are going to have such problems. But we'll drop that for now. I don't go that direction. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second angel pours his bowl out, and the sea becomes like blood. Now, you remember in the trumpets, a third of the sea is destroyed, right? In the bowls, every living creature in the sea dies.
Yeah.
So this is a complete destruction of the sea. And by the way, if every living in the creature in the sea dies, then the sea dies and the earth dies. Mm. So if you take this completely literally, you cannot survive. That is a earth killer, I think. Jacques Cousteau said that in the 70s. He said, if we don't protect our oceans, we will destroy ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we've worked tirelessly to prove him right. and we're doing just a great job of that. So again, it's an escalation of what happened in the trumpets is what's happening in the bowls. And then the springs of water. In the trumpets, the springs of water turned bitter, and many people, a third, died from the poisonous water,
right,
which we said fits very well if you just talk about pollution.
Yep.
You know, even though we're probably talking about something different here, we could make that fit our age right now.
Yeah.
And we talked about people around the world. One of the biggest killers of people around the world, even today, I think, is dysentery, diarrhea from bad water.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's kind of an intriguing little thing. But in this one, he escalates it even further, and he says the springs of water become blood. And again, of course, in Egypt, remember, Moses made the springs of water blood.
Yeah.
And the Egyptian magicians were able to emulate that and make them turn into blood as well. But they could just do a little portion, and he turned the whole Nile into blood for a short period of time. And so what you've got here is God's pouring out his wrath. There's just a huge escalation in what's happening on the earth.
Lair, maybe just ever so quick, why do you think, like, it's really interesting that he calls back on that imagery from Exodus, right? Like, is there trying to be some sort of allusion to, just like God saved Israel, this is now God saving you? Is that kind of where he's going with it, or?
But God saving you is a little different than his saving of Israel. His saving of Israel was a physical saving.
Right.
And you're going to find out in the next couple of verses that the saving of the saints is a little different than that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's more eternal.
Right, okay. I was just trying to figure out what he's trying to accomplish.
Very similar imagery. Very much the same thing is going on. God's protecting his people. God's got his people, and he's going to save them. He's going to save his people. Look what happens in the next verse, actually.
Okay. All right, so let's read from 5 to the end of 7, maybe, and then we'll pick it up there. I think that makes sense. And I heard the angel in charge of the water say, Just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. And I heard the altar saying, yes, Lord God, the Almighty, true and just are your judgments.
And remember, we talked about this in 15. In 15, he started saying how holy and true and just is God, mm-hmm. right? And now he's going to say, look at the stuff that's happening on the earth. And then he pulls back and he says, you're just and you're holy. Mm. And some people make a big deal about this next thing, and I'm not sure. He says, who is and was. And what is he leaving out?
Who is to come.
Who is to come, because he's here.
Right.
And so some people really like that piece, and they make a big deal about that. But I think the other piece that's important is he says how holy God is, because these people have shed the bloods of the saints and the prophets. Mm. Now, I see that very much. Old Testament time, the prophets, the saints, Roman times.
Yeah.
Right? And we could see it even in today's times, too, if we want to see the Christians that are killed all over the world for their faith.
Right. Okay.
So you could see it in any age, but I do see it in Rome. Then he says, you've given these people blood to drink, and that's what they deserve. Mm. So how can this holy, loving God do such terrible things on the earth? And John wants to say they deserve it?
Yeah.
Well, that's not fair, because we all deserve hell, right?
Yeah.
Well, so then he goes a little further and he says, and I hear from the altar them saying, Lord God, you're almighty, you're true, and just are your judgments. So you see how he has to say, God, your judgments are just.
Yeah.
So when you're seeing the horrible things happening on the earth, you got to turn around and say, oh, but John is saying God is just.
Right. Right.
I thought I was going to say something a little more profound.
I think that is profound. No, that's profound. I think that's absolutely fine. And then that's a call back all the way. Is that a call all the way back to like Revelation 6, where they're like, how long? And he's like, not enough of you have died, and therefore this is the outcoming of that wrath, right?
All the way from 6 on in the trumpets, and then stronger here. Yeah. Yeah. How long? Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. But he makes this very clear, because once you get to the fourth one, then he has these little catchphrases at the end that are so important.
Okay, cool. Verse 8, folks. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch. Oh, am I having trouble reading today? It was allowed to scorch people with fire, and they were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged.
Do we want to just stop on 8, and then we'll do the next one?
Let's do it.
Okay. So the fourth angel pours out his bowl, and he pours it on the sun, and it scorches people with fire and fierce heat, and they curse the name of God. Hmm. So the sun, and they talk about, what do they talk about when the sun blasts the earth? What do they call that? Cosmic?
Believe it or not, I've heard it as like a corona? Oh. It's like some sort. Yeah, it's like a corona ejection or something like that. Right?
Yeah, yeah. They overuse this word corona.
Yeah, yeah. Do we call everything corona?
right down to the stuff people drink when they're down in Mexico.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, but the point then being, of course, is that there's this fierce heat on the earth. People are really angry. But the part I want to pick up on is they did not repent and give glory to God. Mm-hmm. So what's the purpose with all of this stuff that's happening in 16? The purpose is to bring people to a place where they give glory to God.
Right.
And he says it. I did all of this stuff, and then I heated them right up, and they still would not glorify me.
Mm.
There's a part of you that might say, well, why would we? Look what you're doing. It's awful, man. It's awful.
Yeah.
But he says, yes, but God is true and he's just.
Yeah.
And he still deserves the glory, and they're not doing it.
Right.
It's weird, isn't it?
Well, yeah, right? Because if you would see this linearly, you'd say, look at all the warnings he gave them. If you see this as kind of a cyclical type thing, you'd say, look at all the warnings he gave them.
Yeah, either way, they're... he's trying to get people to come to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a rough go. It is.
Yep.
Chapter 10, or verse 10, I guess.
Verse 10. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds.
Okay, same thing. So now you're... Yeah, exactly. Almost the same thing. Because he pours it right on the throne of the beast. So if it depends on what you're thinking here, because remember, Satan is the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
If the Roman emperor is the beast of the sea, and then the false prophet is the Roman religious system is the beast of the land, this has the effect upon Rome, right? If you're looking at it in the future, something's happening to plunge the world into darkness, volcanic eruption, great cloud cover,
sure,
you know, nuclear war,
yep,
blowing up everything so that the earth is plunged into darkness and we enter a nuclear winter,
right,
all of those kind of possibilities. But people are just in anguish, but instead of repenting, they curse God. And that would be almost an understandable response, you know, yep, to say, I curse you for what you're doing to me, rather than to say, I need to wake up and come to you for what is happening to me. Because this earth isn't all that there is.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are the demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of the God Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. And they assembled them at the place that is in Hebrew called Armageddon.
Ah, the Battle of Armageddon, which is, it's just a giant asteroid coming toward us. And you know, John Travolta.
I think that was Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
Yes.
Bruce Willis and the guys are going to go and save us.
And Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the sixth angel poured it out on Euphrates, and it dries it up. Now, some people see this as... There are people, conspiracy theorists, which, you know, some of these conspiracy theorists might be right, but they think that there's weapons all around in the caves, and the Chinese army is going to come out over the dried up river Euphrates is what they see. And when we used to do this stuff in the late 90s, we joked about that, and now we're looking at China going, I'm a little uncertain all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, but if they're going to take us over, we're pretty sure they're just going to kill us financially and not actually just run over here with weapons. But anyway, so the sixth angel dries up the river Euphrates, and the kings of the east come. To me, that sounds more like a Roman issue than a modern day issue. Mm-hmm. But and then out of the mouth of the dragon, so there's the dragon and the beast and the false prophet. See, this time he doesn't call it the beast of the sea and the beast of the land. This time he calls him the beast and the false prophet. And right, that's why, again, we see this as a political leader and a religious leader.
Okay.
I see it as Rome. You know, I'm seeing this first century very much so. But you could see this now, too, if you wanted to, right?
Yeah.
You could easily see that. And so then the spirit comes out, and the spirit's like frogs. That's a hearkening back to the Egyptian plagues.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
of course it is.
It's not the frog. It's not like it's from A Christmas Carol, and it was the frog's idea. It's a different thing.
Frog did it. It's the frog's idea. And they're demonic spirits. And look at, they're performing signs.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going abroad, and the kings of the world are assembling for battle. And so look at the things that are happening here. So this is very much a physical battle thing that he's talking about, right? Future, yeah. Romans times, yeah. Armageddon. So he's the whole idea of Armageddon, of course, is Armageddon is the mountain of Megiddo, and this is the valley of Megiddo that we're talking about, okay, which actually didn't the Jewish people fight there in the war of 1967? There was something that happened there. They actually went out there, and there was nobody to fight. The Arabic nations, they all got out of there because, you know, the Jewish people were quite willing to fight, and once they discovered that, they left in a hurry because they're not stupid people. So, but that's and Armageddon has always been a place like that, and it's always been it's been talked about as the final battle. be in Armageddon. And in verse 15, look what he says. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his garment on so that he won't be naked. And that is keeping your garments on so that you're not found naked and exposed means you're staying true to Christ and staying righteous.
Yeah.
And we all, pretty much everybody says that about that piece.
Yeah.
I'm coming like a thief. Thessalonians, I'm coming like a thief. Mm. Be ready for it. Be prepared for the coming of God. And they're going to assemble for Armageddon. So is there a future battle? I don't know. Hmm. I'm fine with it, because if that's true, we're also gone, you and I, Steve.
Right.
Yeah. Because we're watching it from heaven and going like a really good football. I don't know if you get popcorn, but chicken wings, you know, depends on which seat you get, right? But there's massive things happening upon the earth. And I still see this as Roman times, of course.
Okay.
But you can easily see this as future.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Verse 17. The seventh angel. What? The seventh angel poured out a seventh bowl. What?
Well, he does, but keep going.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
I feel like there's been a plot twist. I didn't actually.
I've tried to let you down here, but I haven't.
I'm just going. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came from the temple, from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there was flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as had never been seen since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and God remembered Babylon, the great, to make her drain the cup of wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. Great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people, and they cursed God for the plague of hail, because the plague was so severe.
Now, the ones that the hailstones fell on didn't curse God.
No, they were dead.
They were pretty much dead, yeah.
Yeah.
there's very little left of you if 100-pound hailstone falls on you. So the seventh angel pours out his bowl. This is really odd, because this one ties the end and then the continuation on earth at the same time. Because he pours out his bowl and God says, "It's done. I'm finished." Remember, Jesus on the cross said, "It is done. I'm finished."
Yeah.
There's still lots of stuff going on, but that thing was done. And God says here, "It is done." And then flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder, of course, equal...
Is that showing the majesty of God? Is that what that's showing?
Presence of God, yep. Yep, yep, that equals the presence of God. And then a great earthquake happens, which no one has ever felt before. So all of a sudden, like, there's all of this stuff is God's presence, and then all of a sudden they come, for some reason, they come back to the earth, and they say the great city is split, God remembers Babylon. Now, Babylon is probably Rome.
Right.
Right? Because remember, they called Rome Babylon.
Right.
Every once in a while, there's a new city, and they throw out the name. Actually, I think both were on seven hills, which is odd. And if you're in Alberta, you got three hills. So they didn't get quite enough hills to get into the scripture, but they thought they might. And every island flays away. You know, islands don't flee, and mountains are gone. So it almost, if you're looking at it physically, you know, the mountains flee away and the islands flee, the mountains are gone, and then hailstones fall on people. So it's really hard to make this completely literal.
Right.
Yeah.
This is talking just about utter destruction, utter barrenness, right?
Yeah. Yeah, on the earth. However, people aren't completely dead, because the ones who live, what do they do again? They curse God.
They're still cursing God.
And they curse God because the plague's so severe. Isn't it crazy how all the way through the seven bowls, God is doing all of this stuff. And really what he's saying is, just come unto me.
Yes.
I'm showing you my power. I'm showing you everything. Just come unto me. And people are saying no. Yeah. They're saying actually a lot harsher things that I don't like to say in a program like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, curse you.
But just
curse, like, you carried the platypus.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You weird duck sort of thing. but just like Pharaoh, right? You know, Pharaoh all these things happen, and Pharaoh still sits there and goes, nah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a strange scripture too, because you don't know whether Pharaoh did it or if God put it in his heart to do.
Yeah.
And God's quite happy to let you not know
which way
it goes.
Yeah.
And but here in these bowls, funny how the bowls are fairly quick compared to the other ones, and yet the whole idea of you need to come unto God. And I just love that John, in all of the harsh things that are happening, God's saying, you are true and just in your judgments, O God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And God's saying, repent of your deeds, come unto me.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Yeah.
So.
Buddy, thank you. That was awesome. Yeah. Folks, thanks so much for being with us. Hey, I don't know if you know this, chapter 17 next week. It's going to be awesome.
Or should we do the rapture? We haven't done the rapture in this series, have we?
We should. Well, not that I remember. Let's do a rapture again.
We can do a rapture.
Let's do a rapture.
Okay.
Should we do a whole episode on the rapture?
Well, it takes a whole episode to do the rapture.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the Raptors, because they're the
No, team are they from even a team anymore?
They're the team from Toronto that play. That
but are
play
they in, still there? Are they still
Well, no, they play in Atlanta right now. It's so weird. Or Orlando
the Atlanta
or something.
Raptors.
Yeah. And then they're going to come back after COVID.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. That makes no sense to me, but that's okay. Oh, yeah. I guess that does make sense. Because if you can travel around the States, but you can't travel from Canada to the States. Yeah. How did they get there then?
They're in the
because I don't think any basketball players are actually Canadian.
They're in a basketball bubble, which is even more ironic because of basketball.
Yeah. it works.
Yeah. Did we get off track there? I'm not really sure. Anyway.
So maybe next week we'll do the rapture, because I think people need to understand the whole concept of a rapture.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So we're looking forward to having you with us next week. We'll discuss the rapture. Larry will discuss it, and I'll sit here and say, oh, that's interesting, because it will be interesting. Until then, I'm Steve, he's Larry, or I'm Larry and he's Steve. No, hang on. I'm Steve, he's Larry. That's it. Got it. And we'll see you next time on the Apocalypse Larry podcast.